Dow is down 114 points. The Nasdaq losing 151. This is SRN News.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Montgomery Paint and Body. From a little fender bender to total body repair, MPB will fix it good as new, maybe better. For over 35 years, the Turner family has been getting you back on the road. Call 279-7325.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We've got a front on the way, but it's weakening as it gets closer to us, so it looks like a dry forecast. Another warm day with a high temperature up to about 84 today. Mostly cloudy today and tonight. Mild tonight, low 61. Tomorrow's high 86 with a sun and cloud mix. Then the risk of some widely scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm on Friday and Saturday. 88 Friday, 86 for a high on Saturday. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms Sunday and much cooler. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors and More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors and More, Hunter Lane across from Del Rey to Publix.
1819 News.
We now have two candidates in the Congressional District 2 race after a runoff election held on Tuesday has selected the candidates for each party. Caroline Dobson is now the Republican candidate to run in this congressional race. She beat out Dick Brubaker in yesterday's runoff election. Shamari Figures won over Anthony Daniels to become the Democrat candidate in this race. Figures is the son of State Senator Vivian Figures. He's been living in Washington, D.C., working within the Biden administration and returned to Alabama to run in this race. Dobson is a Harvard University graduate who is now a real estate attorney. She grew up in Montgomery on her family's farm. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Where I was living was not a great place to live anymore. I began to pray for a place to go, praying for all of these things that a nine-year-old would want. I wanted horses, big house with a bunch of people my age. I wanted parents. I wanted a mom and a dad. Before I even prayed it, the Lord had already answered my prayer with the Big Oak Ranch. Who would that nine-year-old be if she never came to the Big Oak Ranch? I would be trying to fight for survival instead of fighting to break a cycle.
Big Oak Ranch, a Christian home for children needing a chance.
An Amber Alert is now canceled regarding two siblings who went missing from Montgomery. 13-year-old Jana Zaya Gunn and her 5-year-old brother Caden Perryman have been located in the city of Selma and are unharmed. The two were reported missing on Tuesday afternoon. A Boaz man is confirmed to have died on Tuesday in Walker County. 40-year-old Stephen Zolick Jr. was driving a tractor trailer that left the road, overturned, and caught fire. Zolick was found dead at the scene. The crash occurred on Interstate 22 and caused that road to be shut down from other vehicles due to the fiery flames and smoke. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. For years, I've been asking you to call me at Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies. When you call Alabama Home Mortgage, from the moment we pick up the phone, you will hear the difference. We are passionate about what we do. To us, you're not just another applicant. When you call on us, you are trusting that we have your best interest at heart, and we do. We treat our customers like family, and that's why our customers turn into family, coming back to us time and time again. We know you have many options when it comes to mortgage financing. and we appreciate the opportunity to earn your business. We are excited to hear from you. Give Alabama Home Mortgage a call at 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com to complete an application on your time. Our passion is just one difference that sets us apart from the rest. It's not just a slogan, call Alabama Home Mortgage, because, folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
It's time for Montgomery's Conversational Radio Show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Produce some crappy results.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
How dare you,
Joey Clark.
Welcome into News and Views in the afternoon, or if we're calling it online, Joey Clark Live. We got Eddie Bader in the house. How you doing, Eddie?
I'm pretty good, Joey. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. And I guess we should both say congratulations to Caroline Dobson.
That's right. That is right, Joey.
Big win last night for the Dobson campaign. They will be going on to the general election in the brand-new Alabama District 2, going up against Shamari Figures. Congratulations to Mr. Figures. And joining us to talk about this and other things, as is tradition now on Wednesdays, we have Jeff Poor, of course, host of the Jeff Poor Show and editor-in-chief there at 1819 News. Hey, Jeff, how you doing today?
Hey, Joey. Thanks for having me on.
Did you survive the State House? You're doing your show there from the State House, for folks who don't know. What's the feeling down there today as we are closing out the session?
For me, six guests today, but it's budgets, obviously. The one to watch, I think, is the increase in the proposed increase in the internet sales tax. Kind of some weird reasoning there, or justification, I should say, that they're trying to pull with that. And then, obviously, the Innovation Districts, there's some weird things that the legislature's trying to do here in the name of economic development. And the way I've been explaining it to people, if you're keeping up with DeSantis and his fight with Disney, and you remember, like, the Reedy Creek coal development zone where they were kind of autonomous and it had its own government, it could do a lot of different things if it so chose. Well, somebody saw that in Alabama and said, you know what? Why don't we get our buddies in the legislature to give us what the state of Florida once gave Disney? And that's what they're trying to do. So it's kind of fascinating, but a lot of red flags there. But those are the biggies.
Yeah, and when I saw that, I'm like, I'm all for, like, more autonomy at the local level, but you shouldn't be able to just take people's tax money without any accountability. Like, if you don't want to be taxed, you can't tax, is, I guess, my idea. But, and then we have another issue on taxes there. Do you think this vote on increasing the internet sales tax actually crosses the finish line?
No, I think the plan was to rush it through, kind of give it the bum rush, and just make it happen. But now that it's been carried over, it may get out of the House. I just don't see enough time, enough days left to get it through the Senate. But I was kind of a little struck by the way they tried to accomplish that, Joey. It was like, hey, we got to do this thing to make it better for Alabama. What? You're going to raise our taxes because that's going to make it better? Yeah, well, hear us out here. Conservative. This is conservative, Joey. I missed this chapter in Milton Friedman's book here, but that if we raise taxes on the internet sales tax, it will level the playing field to our brick and mortar stores who pay a higher tax rate, so they can compete with online businesses. That is conservative because that is competition, and competition makes us all better. And I was just kind of stunned. Like, how stupid do you think we are?
Yep, I think that's exactly what I said yesterday, ranting about it. One of the stupidest ideas I've seen in a long time. And it certainly won't help out mom-and-pop stores by any means. Now, another one that came in late in the session, and there's been a lot of drama, for better or for worse, around it. We've talked about it a little bit, but with this ethics reform law that's come up, and I know that there's been follow-up now after Stan McDonald has resigned his position. I believe Attorney General Marshall was on with your colleague, Sean Sullivan, and I'm still trying to make heads or tails of this, because at a certain point, I'm not a trained lawyer, and so I'm suspicious of what exact stakes in the legal game is going on here. Like I wrote about this week, if you really want to get rid of corruption, get rid of a lot of the government, as much government as you can. I think that'll solve a big problem. But where do you think this ethics reform change is going in these final days?
It's not clear to me that the Senate's even interested in taking it up. Senate is kind of a holding pattern on it, but that's where it's got to go if it wants to see the next stage. I'll say this about it. I think something needs to be done. I just think the problem with our ethics laws in Alabama, Joey, is this. They're so vague that if you have a zealous prosecutor, if you have a New York sort of a situation, a Bragg situation or whatever, and they decide, we don't like this politician. Well, we could take the ethics law in Alabama and we could say that it says this, even though it may say this or whatever. It's so broadly interpreted that we could bring charges against you, and we may not win in court, but we could at least get a grand jury indictment or something along those lines. So I think for better government, you've got to have clarity in your ethics laws. It needs to be black and white. It can't be open to interpretation. And that's so much of what you're seeing right now. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of pushback, because there's a lot of people within the state that kind of like having that option if something does happen, where we could kind of play the ethics law game and see what we could do to a political opponent.
Well, and it seems like the Attorney General's sticking point is removing the economic gain provisions. Like if somebody's voting and it accrues to them economic gain, this is, I think, what Mike Hubbard was got on. And I think the Attorney General doesn't like that becoming just a civil penalty, and he doesn't seem to buy Simpson's argument that the bribery statutes as they currently exist are enough. And again, I'm not a trained lawyer, so I'm trying to, you know, think about this in the most, bare bones way. And I still don't see why. I'll put it this way. Well, if the ethics reforms need to come again, and I agree with what you just said, Jeff, why don't we do a special session, or you start this at the beginning of a session? This seems to have been brought out pretty late in the dance here.
Well, I'll say this. I knew Matt Simpson had been working on ethics reform going back to like last October. So I don't think this was something that was necessarily sprung on us. They'd been talked about, and he had been trying to make his way around to these state agencies, including the Attorney General, including the Ethics Commission, to really placate them and make them happy. So it wasn't like what they're doing with this innovation district stuff that they're doing right now. But you're right, it did come in the second half of the session, and now it feels like there's a rush underway to get it done before the end of the year, before they gavel out sunny die. And I don't know that is that necessarily good government.
Right, right, absolutely. Now, did you see any of this city council meeting that was had here in Montgomery? I know y'all had a story on it there at 1819 News. Did you catch any of the video? Like, this is one of the most packed city council meetings I've seen in a long time.
Well, I only read the reporting on it. I didn't watch the video, but what's going on here? Certainly very emotional to have this happen to your daughter.
Yeah.
What happened on the Atlanta Highway. Do you feel like that this is sort of like where the dam is about to burst and people are about to say, this isn't working out the way it's supposed to, Mayor Reed. The city's really kind of been sitting into chaos.
Yes, I've been to a few of the council meetings in person. I've tried to watch a few on YouTube, which you can every time they meet folks. It's on the city's YouTube channel. And it's never been this packed. And the energy in the room, it wasn't just how many people were there. The crowd was not in any mood to be told by C.C. Calhoun to be quiet, don't want to applaud so much. They're not in any mood to be like, oh, your time's up. And I think the council realize, okay, we need to just let these folks speak. And it was folks from all different walks of life here in Montgomery, from the West Side and for folks who knew Amy Dix. And it's, I think it's a moment where, I'll put it this way, when somebody, you see a story that's awful, like a usually young black man shot and killed in Montgomery, there's usually the story of the two kids knew each other. It was over some respect or beef thing, maybe drug deals going on, and it's awful, but people go, well, they knew each other and they shouldn't have been living that life. When it's a woman who's just waiting at a stoplight in Atlanta Highway and is now paralyzed from the breast line down, and she was doing nothing wrong, it's an area I think anybody in Montgomery's been to if you've lived here, that wakes people up, and it plays into the fears so many people have had about hearing gunshots at night, about, you know, letting their kids play out front or something like that. Yeah, I think you're right. This is the dam breaking, so to speak.
I mean, that's sort of way it looks to me from the outside looking in, but what do you think is the answer here? What do you think, where are the lapses of government that allow for something like this to happen? Is it necessarily a lack of, like, city of Montgomery attention to the problem, or... Man, is our culture just turning pretty rotten right now?
I think the deeper thing is the cultural issue, and the line, it all begins at home. There's a report that just came out from Axios, and they're essentially trying to defend the national Democrat efforts in this upcoming election, saying, look, crime has fallen in the last couple of years, and that is technically true, but if you look in the places where you saw the biggest fall, look at Philly. Their homicide rate is way down, 20-something percent. Why? Because they got a bunch more cops and put them in the areas where everybody was doing the killing. And so I think it is as simple as that. We need more officers in Montgomery. They've had a terrible time not just recruiting but retaining people, and you need to put them in the areas where a lot of this is going down.
Let me ask you this, Joey, because, I mean, my knowledge is not as extensive of Montgomery as yours is, but, I mean, how long has Atlanta Highway out in the east part of Montgomery out there been a place where you would think you would need a heavy police presence? I mean, this seems to have happened in the last 10, 15, 20 years to where things have kind of deteriorated in that situation. That this seems to be happening more widespread around town, yeah. And it's not just isolated, right?
It really sped up during and after COVID, I started to have second thoughts about going over to Eastdale Mall. I definitely don't ever go to those gas stations around Ann Street. There are areas I used to go that now, I don't fear for my life, but I have a second thought about going to certain places, and it really sped up in the last few years, and the homicide rates, reflect that. And I think some of it is you just need to put more cops on the streets. But I'll be blunt. I think it's a leadership problem. This mayor has, fired the police chief he inherited, Chief Finley. Chief Albert's been here a short time, but now Albert's on administrative leave still for reasons we don't have an official explanation for. So I think it's a morale problem. And my biggest worry is this is how you end up not only with more crime and terrible tragedies like we saw with Amy, but you end up with dirty cops. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything at this moment, but I can see the pattern here, and it's a very ugly one.
Well, and so, I mean, what did Todd Strange do different from Mayor Reed? I mean, seriously, like, this is like, if we can just figure this out, you just think it's just an internal policing situation that needs to be that you got to turn that ship around somehow. Well, then what do you go to the city council, and then what do you say to them? Do this and this.
Well, and I think it goes back to, it's two things. There has been a national cultural shift, especially after George Floyd and COVID. And you saw a big problem with just anybody wanting to do the job of policing, especially in urban areas. But when you look at, say, when Todd Strange was mayor, I remember vividly Dan Morris, every time Mayor Strange would stop by, how many officers we have? And we'd usually be in the upper 400s and budgeted for a little over 500. Now, the exact number's hard to come by, which, again, is a problem with this police department, but we're very, very low, I'll put it that way, in the 300-something range. So I don't know what Todd's, did he have an advantage in terms of his administrative wit and his wisdom of managing the city? Or did he just have a better hand dealt with them with the national climate? I'm not exactly certain. I just know that you see a lot of, I'll put it this way. I don't seek out a lot of dirt on MPD. And so when dirt starts being sent my way, me being pretty aloof, I'm like, okay, something's going on here. And this is why I brought on, say, Renee Helton to talk about accusations against the chief. I'm just tired of the rumor mill, and that suggests, again, a problem at the top. And I don't have the exact solution, and I'm willing to hear out the mayor, but and he spoke, I think, fairly well last night at the meeting. It's just, it's not enough. And when he talks about, oh, we're doing these conferences and these crime interventions, and that's the day when Amy Dix gets shot just sitting at a stoplight, everybody just kind of shakes their head at the cruel irony of it all. So I'm not sure exactly where this is going to go, but hey, before I let you go, I want to end where we began with Carolyn Dobson's win last night, and a pretty big win. What are your main takeaways from this?
Well, and I come at this from a very mobile-centric point of view here, Joey, but I just don't think Senator Brubaker spent enough time trying to win down there. I think he thought he had enough votes in Montgomery. He didn't spend enough time. He didn't get enough touches. In a low-turnout contest where you don't know where your dependable votes are, by seeding Mobile and seeding the southern part of CD2, I think that's what's the biggest difference. And I said this last night on social media. I know you saw it. I mean, Carolyn Dobson did everything, everything to be the Mobile candidate. I think she already kind of had a base of support in Montgomery. She seemed to be kind of the establishment pick. Kay Ivey showed up at her campaign event on Monday night. So she seemed to have at least some kind of base of support in Montgomery. But she really, really hustled in Mobile. I mean, you saw her in everything. I think that's what made the difference. She did everything but wear an Azalea Trail Maid dress to really ingratiate herself to the southern part of the district. And to me, that's where you saw a lot of the big numbers go.
Well, and it came down to me for an energy thing. I rarely say who I voted for, but I'll just be blunt here. I voted for Dick Brubaker in the first round here. And then, you know, just talking to Dick and Carolyn every week leading up to that. And I just got the sense Carolyn was in a better position, I think, to win in November and just had more energy, it seemed to me. And it was a little more put together. And, you know, seeing that immediate endorsement from Senator Britt that came out this morning, I'd imagine to beat the Democrats with all this national money that's going to come in and national media to boot, you could see big guns, maybe like Katie Britt or even Kay Ivey Sugar, supporting Carolyn pretty heavily here in this race.
I would think so. They're going to want to keep that Republican. But let me ask you this, Joey, because my listeners, like, I had them both on just like you going into last night or yesterday. When they would vote, people would just say that Brubaker sounded pretentious, like he sounded like he already kind of thought he had it sewn up, and he didn't really, whereas she was like more eager to please and more eager to court your vote, and that was the difference. Like, going into it, you're right, Brubaker had the name ID, people knew who he was, but it ain't, like I said, a low turnout, the people who voted, who were paying attention, just felt like Dobson had sought it out a lot harder, worked for it a lot more.
Yeah, and I don't know, because I never got Brubaker sounding like, you know, pretentious or entitled or anything. I think it's just I've known him personally now for several years.
But I didn't pick up on that at all. But this is just my listeners. Like I said, I've known him for years and years, and he's always been good to me. But they're very, like, face value, judge a book by its cover sort of take on it. That's the way he came off to them.
Yeah, and maybe it was the campaign. I don't know. But there was something, I can't even put my finger on it. It just seemed more like a youth, and we need somebody new there. There is something about also a young, professional, attractive mother tend to win elections, especially here in the state of Alabama, and tend to win in general elections. So we'll see where all this goes. But I appreciate your time, as always, Jeff. If folks want to check out what you're writing about, thinking about, how can they do so?
Jeff_Poor on Twitter. Joey, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Again, folks, that is Jeff Poor. I've got his Twitter page pulled up there. Always great talking to him. Now, we got to hit a quick break, but once we come back from this quick break, I'm going to go to the video of Amy Dick's mother.
Okay.
She spoke last night at the council meeting.
All right.
And let's just say it was powerful. Be right back with that clip.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but
Whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Goodson Group. Have you ever considered turning your home into a rental and build wealth at the same time? People throughout the River Region are doing that right now. By investing wisely in the right property or turning your current home into a rental is the secret. Hiring a property manager to professionally manage your property is the way to prosperity. Our company does all of the advertising, personally showing prospective tenants, does a thorough background check and credit report before moving forward. Over 15 critical services are provided to our clients in protecting the asset, but also providing the best residence in your home possible, collecting rent on time and frequent inspections help landlords feel better about renting their house, and to provide clean, well-kept homes that anybody would be proud to call home. For a complete list of property management services, call Bo Goodson at the Goodson Group at 221-2883 or 551-0225.
Honey, wake up.
What?
I think something's burning.
I don't smell anything.
I'm gonna go check.
Each year, over 65,000 American homes suffer a fire due to an electrical problem. Is your home safe? You can't be sure unless you call Crosby Electric, your exclusive provider of CurrentSafe, the world's foremost home diagnostic system. Crosby Electric will send a specially trained electrician to your home. Using high-tech equipment, they'll check your hidden wiring, panel box, light switches, and electrical outlets to make sure your home is safe.
Well, it appears that we found the culprit. Faulty wiring.
I should have had it checked.
Just be thankful everyone's okay.
For an in-home, no-obligation assessment, visit CrosbyElectric.com. Don't just think it's safe. Know it's safe.
Now you'll be safe with CurrentSafe.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-729-4040. That's 800-729-4040. 800-729-4040.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness every Saturday at 10 a.m.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. Now, as promised, this is the mother of the woman who was shot on Atlanta Highway. This is the mother of Amy Dix. Her name is Freda Owens, and she showed up along with many others last night. Like I was saying to Jeff Poretti, this I haven't seen a city council meeting this packed.
Yeah.
In a long, long time. And again, it was folks from all over the community. But let's listen in. This is Freda Owens taking the podium at the Montgomery City Council meeting last night.
Owens. Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Freda Owens. I have my family here with me. I apologize for being so emotional. First, thank you very much for allowing me to speak with you concerning the horrific, senseless shooting on Friday, April 12, 2024, at approximately 1 p.m. on the Atlanta Highway. My 43-year-old daughter, Amy Dix, is the victim of this crime. At 1:12 p.m. on that Friday, I answered my phone. Mama, Mama, I've been shot. I'm going to die. Mama, I love you. I can't move. I love you. Take care of Ella. I thought this must be a prank call. I looked at my phone. It was Amy. As you see on the screen, that is my beautiful daughter with her wonderful husband, Joe, and her 17-year-old daughter, Ella Grace. As Amy was on the phone, I heard voices. I wasn't sure who they were. Amy could no longer respond to me. I heard someone say, "Can't get a BP, a blood pressure." Three times, no pressure. As a nurse, I know what no BP means. Maybe you have experienced a traumatic event as this, but if you haven't, it is gut-wrenching. It is terrifying. As I drove an hour and a half to get to her, I could only wonder if my precious Amy was alive or dead. Amy's a wonderful person. She's a devoted wife. She's a loving mother. She's precious to her entire family. She's a friend to many people. Now she will add victim to her name and is a Montgomery County crime statistic. Amy recounted her experience to
me. Mr. Owens, come on. You may allow you one more minute to wrap it up. I know you got some other speakers.
No, sir. I have to finish.
I'm going to allow you to finish, but I'm going to allow you one more minute. I understand where you're trying to go, but I got several people that want to speak.
She heard many gunshots. She wondered what was happening. She slid down in her seat until she did not hear any other gunshots. She sat up and pow! She was hit. She bullet went through her left shoulder, her rib, her lung, and landed in her spine. As she became weaker, an officer asked her name. Amy said to me, "I could hear him. I could not respond." the officer said, huh, she don't want to give us her name. I heard that. Amy's daughter, as you see on the screen, my granddaughter Ella, travels that Atlanta highway 5 days a week to get to her school. She's not safe. Do you think she's safe? The news media reported this was a non-life-threatening event. I understand they get their information from an information officer. They're not professionals. They're basing that on the few minutes they're there. This was life-threatening. A punctured lung is life-threatening. It is absolutely life-altering. Crime has overridden Montgomery, Alabama. It is out of control. I pray each of you as elected officials will do your job to the best of your ability to find a solution to this problem. I pray each of you will be proactive with this challenge. The shooting was senseless, impacted not only Amy, but a husband, a daughter, an aunt, and many other family members. This shooting has impacted Amy and left her family financially for the rest of her life. The crime situation in Montgomery, Alabama is unacceptable. And I join... I join with the citizens who are represented here this evening and call for action now, immediately. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Lawrence.
Again, that is the mother of Amy Dix. And, I mean, there's more from that council meeting. Maybe we'll play some more later, more folks standing up and speaking out.
Well, I'll say this. Here's somebody try to... here's someone that has the ability to make change to try to hush someone that's daughter was a victim of crime was quite disgusting. And that's the nicest way I can put that.
Oh, yeah. But we do have to hit a break. We'll be back. Erica Thomas, 1819 News, joining us.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Fresh deals, fresh inventory. Spring savings have sprung at Toyota of Montgomery. And we have a fresh new inventory of the new Toyotas you've been looking for. Take that spring trip in style, comfort, safety, and peace of mind in our huge selection of trucks, SUVs, and sedans. Drive the new 2024 Camry LE and lease for $299 a month. Or get low 3.99% APR financing. Spring out of your old car and into a new Toyota. And get up to $2,000 over book value for your trade. Or check out our fresh new inventory of certified pre-owned Toyotas that look, drive, and even smell brand new. Just don't wait. Spring offers end soon at Toyota of Montgomery. Online at toyotamontgomery.com. Part of the Sutherland Automotive Group.
3.99% APR financing for 36 months. It's $29.53 for 1,000 financed. MSRP 30,958. 12,000 miles per year for 36 month lease with 3638 due at signing. $0 security deposit with approved credit. Excessive wear, tear, and mileage may affect trade value. Plus tax, tag, title, and 995.fee. Expires 4/30/24.
Hi, this is Jeff Mallinson with Georgia Floors Direct, and I want to talk to you about Blue Water Broadcast and how they've helped my business spread the word. As every small business owner, I have to look at my advertising dollars carefully, and Blue Water Broadcast helps me get the most for every dollar I spend. I'm so glad to be a part of Blue Water Broadcasting and what they bring to Montgomery.
Our advertisers are our biggest advocates. Call us to find out how radio can increase your bottom line. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The Health and Wealth Show. The Health and Wealth Show. The show so nice, we said it twice. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV. The
Health... Make it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by the Johnny Adams Law Firm. They want you to stay safe on the road. Please don't text and drive. Get to your destination safely. Your family and friends will thank you. From the Johnny Adams Law Firm.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi,
Hi, everybody. We've got a front on the way, but it's weakening as it gets closer to us, so it looks like a dry forecast. Another warm day with a high temperature up to about 84 today. Mostly cloudy today and tonight. Mild tonight, low 61. Tomorrow's high 86 with a sun and cloud mix. Then the risk of some widely scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm on Friday and Saturday. 88 Friday, 86 for a high on Saturday. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms Sunday and much cooler. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Whether you're buying a home or auto or consolidating debt, CBNS Bank's personal loans get you where you need to go. Go to cbsbank.com to find a location near you or apply online today. All loans subject to credit approval, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Thomas of 1819 News. Hey, Erica, how are you this afternoon?
Howdy, Joey. I'm doing well. Watching that video that you just played is just so heartbreaking, and that whole case has been on my mind since the weekend when it happened. And my prayers go out to that family, just praying that God keep them strong. That woman is so strong to go out there and do that while her daughter is being treated in the hospital, and the whole community has just really come together on this one, and I think there's a possibility that it could lead to change because people are actually listening now.
Yeah, and the part that tore me to pieces is when I read the update Amy's husband put out on Facebook, on the Book of Faces, an update from the hospital, and she, Amy, in her own words, described what happened. And, you know, describing how she's paralyzed from the breast line down now. And her reaction being that, thank God I can still hug the people I love.
Oh. What an incredible woman.
That's the gratitude everybody needs.
Yes, definitely. I don't think that the crime issue is very new in Montgomery. I think that it's just... It's been around for a long time. I think when it starts going outside of the regular areas, that's when it gets terrifying. Innocent bystanders can just be shot. But I lived in Montgomery for a year back in 2008. And I wasn't even there long enough. I was living in an apartment complex. I wasn't even there long enough to have a couch yet. I was sitting on the floor eating my Cheerios or Fruit Loops, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, it was like 11 in the morning. And I didn't go to work until the evening shift. I worked overnight there at WAKA. And all of a sudden, I heard 8 gunshots, just pow, 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 like right back to back. And there was a shooting in the breezeway of my apartment complex, of my building. And so, obviously, I was in the news business in TV, and I called 911, but then I called the station. I said, hey, y'all, I can't even go outside right now because there was somebody shot up here, I think. And so the TV stations got there, and then they told me what had happened, and I came outside when it was safe, and there was a guy laying there shot multiple times. But he was actually the home invader. He was going to break into someone's house while they were away at lunch. And come to find out, they didn't go to work that day. You know, the guy thought he wouldn't be in his apartment, but he was. And the homeowner shot him, or the renter shot him. So, to me, that was like my first week living in Montgomery. I've always kind of been, you know, alert of my surroundings when I go there, which I try to be that way everywhere, but Montgomery's one of those places where I just really want to pay attention to everything and kind of almost be paranoid, you know, for my own safety, and that's really sad. That's our capital, and that's where people come to do business with our state, and it really is time to clean it up.
Well, and, you know, maybe it's because I've lived pretty much my whole life here other than the short stint in Auburn, and I don't necessarily feel that way, though I will say after COVID, it seemed like certain areas are areas you don't want to go, but, you know, when I've driven people around town who are from out of town, they're shocked by, oh, look at that million-dollar house there in Cloverdale right next to that shanty, and, like, yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of weird aspects of Montgomery. My hope is that we know how to solve this. They're, in fact, big cities in this country who made a lot of dumb mistakes who are now changing their policing policies, and it's time Montgomery get on top of it, and I'm happy to believe that's exactly what the mayor wants to do based on what he said last night. But I'll put it this way, Erica, and everybody out there listening, stop making policing decisions based on the whole George Floyd incident. He wasn't a saint. You picked the wrong martyr. Stop making this about some identity play and a national narrative to garner votes that don't actually make your lives better. Look out for your community and the people right in front of you. Stop buying into it. It's just... Excuse me.
We do have to look out for the innocent people that are not, you know, running around just committing crimes all the time. But I think we can take a note from this victim here, like make a positive out of a negative. Let's change this. Let's do something good. Let's hug our community.
Amen. Now, there's some other stuff going on in the state, and I want to move forward before I start getting too emotional here. Now, tell me about this new thing going on in Opelika. It's a new memorial mile. Like, what's going on with this?
Yeah, so a lot of people remember the former Auburn football player who was killed in LaGrange, Georgia. I don't remember what year this was. It was several years back. It was 2014 when he was killed in a car wreck. His name is Philip Lutzenkirchen, right?
Philip Lutzenkirchen.
I always have the hardest time saying that one. He was a very well-known Auburn football player. And he went on and was going to probably end up being even a bigger deal. But his life was cut short when he was in a DUI crash on June 29th in 2014. And this happened in LaGrange, Georgia. He had been out partying with his friends at a farm. They had a bonfire. They were all drinking. And somebody said that they needed a can of Skull or something. And so they left at 3 in the morning to go to the store that was right down the road. And just high-speed crash killed two of them, including him. He was a passenger in the vehicle. But his parent, ever since then, his father has been going all across the nation with the Let's See 43 Foundation. And he is trying to bring awareness to distracted driving, DUI driving. And this is part of that. So the city of Opelika and the Auburn Marriott Opelika Resort and Spa, they all partnered up to put this huge sign out that says it's dedicated to the foundation, but it has the 43 key seconds safe driving initiative on it. And it's really cool. It's a great reminder. And it's another example of a parent who has been through the worst thing they could do. They lost a child, and they're turning that negative into a positive and changing lives.
Yeah, and he was about my age. Philip was my senior year. It was that year they won the national championship. He caught that game-winning touchdown in the Iron Bowl, and I remember that day in 2014. But it's, again, it shows the grace and the gratitude and people taking awful tragedies and turning into something that I think can make everybody's lives a little bit better here.
Yeah, I mean, this sign might not save someone's life. You know, it might not do much, but it will remind people about what happened and keep his memory going so that people can say they can use this as lessons for their children for generations to come. I mean, football players are such a big deal to kids, you know, especially little boys that just want to grow up and be a football player, be an NFL player one day. They look up to those people so much, and this was one of those guys that people really looked up to. And so parents that are my age and even younger, they can use this as an example. And their kid says, hey, what's that? And this is just, this is why you do not get in a vehicle with anybody that has been drinking. It's that simple.
Really is. Now, one last story here. And again, folks, we're talking to Erica Thomas of 1819 News. Is there a conspiracy in this state perpetrated by extremists to try to take these books out of the libraries? What's going on here?
So a lot of times when you hear people criticizing conspiracy theories, you'll hear that from the left, just dogging the right on, this is a conspiracy theory, this is, you know. But, I mean, most of the ones that have happened over the past 3 or 4 years, you know, they've actually been true. So then you're like, oh, he's laughing now. But now there are some people that are attacking the people who want to protect children and saying that they have a conspiracy and calling them extremists. So it's crazy how things, how words and suggestions are tossed around when we're so polarized in this book issue. These library books are causing so much disagreement and arguments, and it's really getting heated. And this week it got very heated at the Fairhope public library meeting, and this is in Baldwin County for anybody that doesn't know. But it's very interesting because they've had this argument down here for months, and it's the same people at the meeting saying the same things, and now they're at the point where they're just flat out reading the books and bringing them to the meetings and showing them. They don't want the books removed from the library necessarily. They want them moved from the children's section to an adult section or to a section for mature teens, just so that a child can't happen upon these books that have photos of naked people, and they show different positions, and they teach you how to do things that kids really don't need to know. So there was a lady that came all the way to Fairhope from Prattville, and she's the lady that started Read Freely. She was one of the founders that started Read Freely.
Mm-hmm.
And she had real concerns about this issue. Her name's Angie Hayden, and she said, you know, her daughter is in the LGBTQ community, and so she feels like there's a need for these books. They're therapeutic. There's a reason for them to be there. And everyone listened to her. And at that point, she talked about Clean Up Alabama and Moms for Liberty, and that's kind of when it went very negative. And she said, you know, don't listen to these people because they say they want the books moved, but as soon as you do that, then the next thing's going to happen. They're extremists. And if you let them get a foot in the door, once they do, they're going to shove their way all the way in. So, yes, she's suggesting that there's some type of conspiracy going on, that they don't really want to protect the children and remove the books. They really just want to get out all the LGBTQ material out of the library altogether.
Well, they'd have to get rid of a lot of classic literature then. It's just, I think it's it's absurd but I think it is very important to folks. They're looking out for their kids, and it's become, from what you just said, of what Angie Hayden said, it's a symbolic fight, and everybody tends to take their symbols very personally. People don't like to be poked in the symbols, so to speak. Yeah. Maybe you could read that in one of those books there, but... yeah, I think it's a fascinating cultural moment. I find the bringing up the specter of it's going to be like The Handmaid's Tale is a little much. But, you know, this is what you got to do. And I think fighting at the local level, even if it gets a little nasty at a meeting, is the right way to go about it. But, Erica, I always appreciate the time. If folks want to check out what you're writing about, think about how can they do so.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you thank you so much for having me on today. I told you earlier, I have the worst pollen allergies ever, and I've done all the stuff, but I've just not felt good, so I'm sorry I sound like a Dixie chick today, and I really appreciate you allowing me to come on and just talk about things that are going on. But if anybody wants to get in touch with me, please email news@1819news.com. You can also go to 1819news.com, check out our stories. We have all these incredible reporters in Montgomery, as I say every week. They're covering every little bit of the legislature, so it's really important to look there to keep up with what's going on, because you're going to see a lot of stories, a lot of things that are happening in Montgomery right now that no one else is going to have. We have that bandwidth. We have that dedication to make sure that our readers are hyper-informed. We really want them to know what's going on. So please check out 1819news.com, and hopefully I will be able to talk to you next week, and I'll be all cleared up.
Well, look forward to that, as always, Erica. Thank you again.
Thanks, Beth.
Again, Erica Thomas there of 1819 News. Always appreciate her time. Hey, Eddie, you know this part of the program?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Pest Pro Services, yeah.
Great folks, Joey.
Really are good people.
Yeah, they help me out quite often.
They've been helping with the mosquitoes?
Yep, they'll be back out tomorrow.
Really?
Yep. And I was over there this morning. Again, I saw a couple, but no bites.
And you got some sweet meat. People don't take that the wrong way. It's just the truth. Sweet over there.
It's great because they come out and they'll spray for the mosquitoes for me, but also, you know, they are my everyday pest control service. So last time they came out, Jonathan came out, showed me a few issues that I needed to worry about that aren't even pest control related, but he does know it affects me in my house. So it was great to have somebody there. It's an extra set of eyes.
Now, it could be mosquitoes, or it could be termites.
Termites are on the move, baby.
And especially, yeah, heat and moisture.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes like it, termites like it, also fire ants like it.
Yeah, buddy.
And, you know, if you think, well, I sprayed that hill, and, well, if it keeps coming back, especially also, it's one thing, it might be one thing if you got a tiny little garden home, and it's a little yard. If you have property, I'll put it that way. You got land.
A normal lot, like most people have. You can chase these fire ants all summer long.
Because the network is underground.
Right.
Right. So the deal is call Pest Pro Services on all these issues with pest control, or just make them your everyday pest control company. I think that's the best way to go. Make sure you have a relationship with them. If something does come up, they can help you out.
Yes.
So call them today, 265-9990. That's 265-9990. Or you can always go to ppsriverregion.com. Or just search Pest Pro Services on the Book of Faces. They have a very active Facebook page.
Yeah, they do.
And they're always giving back to the community, which is always great to see. When you want to know, call a pro, Pest Pro Services, and be sure to tell Ashley and that great team that Joey and Eddie, those morons on the radio, sent you. Well, emotional first hour.
Yeah.
Because that meeting last night was heated.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'll say the chairman... he should have read the room better, C.C. Calhoun. But when you see how many people were trying to speak, I kind of see where they had a long list of people that
you
showed
got
up
last
night.
One job when you screw up, and that's to sit there and let people vent.
Well, you should let the mother talk. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
But there are more that spoke. And again, it was folks, I think it got kicked off with Jamel Brown, and he was essentially saying, you better watch out, especially on the west side. This summer, it's going to be hot and heavy.
Man, that's just... Yeah.
There's another guy talking about his apartment complex. And first you're like, what, do you got a problem with your apartment? Then he showed the pictures and described the situation. You're like, okay, this guy has got a point.
Dude, I've seen some of that in apartments and rental homes. Where
sewage is essentially backing up into these bathtubs, into toilets.
Backyards, and yeah.
And then he said, we have no security. Like, there's all these young guys walking around, shirts off with, clearly you can see the firearms just in their waistband.
You can see it on Facebook.
And it's like, what are we doing here? And again, I think there are ways to solve the issue.
Hey, you got to enforce the laws we got on the books. I don't want to hear we need new laws. We got the laws.
Right.
It's the enforcement where we're lacking.
Right. So in a second, we're going to continue to take calls, 272-9228. We'll also be bringing more of some of the speechifying and testimony that happened last night at the city council meeting. In a way, it's a shame that it's a tragedy that takes that many people showing up. Because, you know, I've been to council meetings, and sometimes it's just boring. It is. And, you know, not everything about city administration is going to be sexy.